Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. This program is designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God.
So hey everybody, turn up your radio. Listen to your soul cry the question why the song. Something you never seen before. So gather around, squeeze it tight, 'cause you're bound to hear the truth tonight. 'Cause the love around here is bound to make it fall. Head over heels for heaven above.
Pastor Brian is currently teaching from the book of Philippians and will be continuing today with part two of Counting All Things Loss for Christ. So let's turn in our Bibles to Philippians chapter 3 verse 6 as Pastor Brian takes us back to basics.
He says, but the things that were previously gained to me, all of these things I have counted loss for Christ. You see, Paul had come to that place of realizing that none of those things mattered when it came to acceptance with God. The Judaizers were still insisting that they did. The Judaizers were still insisting that faith in Christ alone wasn't sufficient. You had to add these other things to it. Essentially, what they taught is in order to become a true and a full and complete Christian, you also had to become a Jew. Paul says, the things that were gained to me, I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. Now think about this. We read this, especially those of us that have been Christians for some time, we read this and we think, well, of course, counting loss, everything, for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, our Lord. But if we put it in the context, now, from the Jewish perspective, Jesus was a criminal who died under God's curse on a Roman cross, and this wasn't anything that you would want to go around boasting about from their point of view. But Paul says, this is where all my confidence is. I mean, he was running so counter to his Hebraic culture. He was just going in the complete opposite direction. And it's true today as well. When we really lay hold of Christ, we're going to be going contrary to the culture. It's always been true. You know, in every generation, all the previous generations, when there used to be more of a Christian sort of a cultural situation in our nation, it was always still the case for anybody to come out truly on the side of Jesus, you were going to go against the grain. You were going to go against the grain of the culture. You were going to go against the grain of the Christianized element of it. You were going to become, in the minds of so-called Christians, nominal Christians, we would call them, you were going to become a fanatic. We remember back in the 70s, they coined the phrase, the Jesus freaks. A lot of people who went to church and had no problem with going to church and had no problem with saying, well, I'm a Christian. They looked at people who were on fire for Jesus and they said, man, that's a Jesus freak. We don't want to be like that. So it's always been the case from Paul's day to our very day. If you're going to count everything lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, your Lord, you're going to go directly against the cultural tide. It's just the way it is. But it's well worth it. And that's what Paul is saying. I count all things lost. To him, there was no comparison. Giving up those things that I was formerly trusting in, all those things that I previously had my confidence in. And again, like I said, not many of us here, if even any of us at all, would look back and say we were trusting in our circumcision and our obedience to the law and so forth. That's not the background we come from. But we all came from some background where we were trusting in something, weren't we? We were trusting in maybe our upbringing, our heritage. We were trusting in our good works. We were trusting in our position in life. It's funny, the things that people trust in that they think are going to give them some sort of clout with God when the day comes. It's amazing what people think. You know, some people just simply think, well, you know, I'm going to just say to God, hey, I was a lot better than those people, so what's the problem? Well, there's lots of problems because that's not the standard. And when we measure ourselves by other people, when we try to put up something else as our basis for acceptance with God, doesn't matter what it is, it's never going to pass the test. There's only one thing that will get us into favor with God. And Paul came to understand that so clearly, and it was Christ. And so I count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish. Oh, Paul, how could you say that about your background? How could you say that about your upbringing? How could you say that about your people? Now, Paul wasn't saying it about them just in a general sense. He wasn't counting all of his past as rubbish in a general sense. He was counting it as rubbish in comparison to Christ. Paul still appreciated his Jewish heritage. He still was thankful for his upbringing. But he understood that these things would not commend him to God. So if there was going to be a comparison with these things in Christ, these things are rubbish as far as he's concerned in comparison to Christ. When we come to faith in Jesus, we don't have to despise our upbringing necessarily. We don't have to disassociate ourselves from our family heritage. We don't have to entirely disconnect ourselves from our culture, only to the extent that we trusted in those things for our standing before God. And to the extent that we trusted in them, that's to that same extent that we count them as rubbish. That's what Paul is saying here. I count all of this as rubbish in comparison to Christ, that I may gain Christ. This was Paul's desire, that I may gain Christ and be found in him. Now, some of you were with us when we studied through Romans, and you remember how we talked about the righteousness that God gives to us through faith in Christ, how God imputes righteousness to us. And Paul elaborated on that in great detail in Romans. Paul is essentially saying the same thing here. He's not going into a deep explanation of it, but he's talking about the very same thing, that I may gain Christ and be found in him. So this is what he desires, to be found in Christ, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law. Now remember, the Jews were still trying to attain to righteousness by observation of the law. Paul says, I'm not trying to do that. I don't want to have anything to do with that. He knows that it's impossible. He says, no, I want to be found in Christ, not having my own righteousness, because the fact of the matter is, the law doesn't provide us with a righteousness. The law only tells us how unrighteous we are. That's Paul's whole case that he builds in Romans and Galatians. The law cannot make you righteous. It can just tell you where you fall short. The law sets the standard. We are measured against it, and we can find in many places where we don't live up to it. So if we're seeking to have a righteousness by the law, if we're seeking to have a righteousness by doing good things, we will never attain to a righteousness. Our desire is to be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ Jesus, the righteousness which is from God by faith. the righteousness that is from God by faith. This is the gospel. That God imputes, meaning places it upon our account, stamps us righteous because of our faith in Jesus. This is the gospel. Jesus did all the work, and all we do is believe in him. And as we believe in him, God declares us to be righteous. And so here we are. We're in Christ. We don't have our own righteousness. We're accepted by him. And now that God has declared me righteous and he's sent his Spirit to indwell me, that righteousness that's been declared over me and that new life that's been planted in me by the Spirit begins to work itself out into my lifestyle and into my behavior. See, Paul never taught that there's a righteousness that you obtain simply through faith in Jesus that doesn't impact your life. Some people have made the mistake of thinking that. When a person is justified by faith, as Paul is talking about here, when a person is declared righteous, simultaneously that person is regenerated, born of the Spirit, indwelt by the Spirit, which then begins to produce the fruit of the Spirit, the life of God, working itself out from that individual's life. And that's what Paul understood, that's what he experienced, and that's what he is communicating here. That which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. This is the great message that we have to present to the world. Believe in Jesus. We have to be careful not to complicate things. We can have a tendency to complicate things. There was a group of people that came to Jesus and they said to him, they said, what work can we do to do the work of God? And you know what Jesus said? He said, this is the work of God. Believe in the one whom he has sent. Today, when we share the gospel with people, we need to tell them it's that simple. Now, we need to make sure they understand that belief doesn't mean mere intellectual assent. It doesn't just mean that you go, oh, believe in Jesus? Hey, well, I believe in Jesus. It's a belief that leads to a recognition of his lordship and a yielding to that. But it is that simple. And if we complicate it, all we're going to do is keep people back from salvation or confuse them once they get salvation. And they'll be left with the impression that somehow they've got to perform in some way, shape, or form to hang on to it or to make sure that they've got it. But we believe that through faith in Christ, a man is born of the Spirit and that God begins to work in that person. And I am very confident in God's ability to work in a person's life. I think sometimes we try too hard with people. And, you know, we want to make sure everything is perfect with them. And, you know, okay, now you're a Christian. Okay, stop doing all that stuff. Don't do that. Ooh, don't say that. Hey, don't go over there. Oh, you better watch this. And pretty soon, you know, they're just, wow, you know, what do I do? What we need to do is, of course, give them the basic things. Teach them how to seek the Lord. Teach them how to hear from God. And then we trust the Lord to work those things in their lives. We trust that God is at work, that he is able, he convicts, he speaks to them, he shows them the things that they need to change in their lives. He does that through a variety of different ways. We have to be careful that we don't put a ton of burdens on people. When I was younger as a pastor, I had a tendency to do that. Burden people down with all kinds of things. And over a process of time and years, actually, I would find myself in situations where I would want to give, you know, that, hey, you better do this and don't do that and watch this. And I would find the Lord just saying, you know, just back off. Just trust me. Pray for him. Just chill. It's okay. I can take care of this. And lo and behold, guess what? God did it. He does it. Of course, he does it through different means. As I said, he does it through obviously through the teaching of his word and people coming under the teaching of his word. He does it through the influence of friends, but he does it so often just through that pure conviction of the Spirit. I love it when, I've had this happen lots of times over the years, you know, somebody's doing something, you know, some little behavioral pattern or maybe something in their speech or something, and I'm kind of stressed out about it, and I'm feeling like I got to say something, and I'm all kind of uptight, and then suddenly out of nowhere they say, you know, the Lord's really been convicting me about this, and it's the very thing that I was all stressed out about having to deal with them about, and they say, you know, God's been talking to me about this, and I think this needs to change in my life, and I'm like, yeah, maybe so, probably so, yeah, I'll be praying for you about that, you know, yeah. But, you know, you see the faithfulness of God. This is where Paul's at. It's this faith in Christ, that's it. And then Paul, in verse 10 and 11, he expresses his deep desire, that I may know him. That I may know him. Experientially, Paul wants to be knowing Christ in greater and greater ways with the passing of the years, the days, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Paul wanted to know, continually grow in his experiential knowledge of the power of Christ working in his life, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings. You see, Paul wanted to know Christ in the most deep and intimate way possible. It wasn't simply, man, I want the power. He said, you know, I want to know him in the fellowship of his sufferings. I want to know him deeply. It's been said, and it is true, when you've suffered alongside of somebody, there's a bond that is there that it goes deeper than almost any other thing. And it's true. And as we enter into the sufferings of Christ, there's a depth that's attained there. That's what Paul is longing for. And he says, being conformed to his death. And now listen to this. If by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Now, it's so important that we understand what Paul is saying here, because this could easily be misunderstood. And some people have accused Paul of contradicting himself. On the one hand, he says he's saved by grace through faith and, you know, not of works. And then on the other hand, he says things like, you know, I'm doing this, seeking to know him and so forth, so I can hopefully be part of the resurrection. Sounds like he's a little bit insecure about his salvation. Not sure if he's going to make it, so he's going to have to, you know, be in this deep pursuit if he's going to really have confidence that he will attain to the resurrection. It sounds like he could be saying that, but if he were saying that, that would be contradicting so much of what he's said in other places and even in the context here. What Paul is saying here is not that he's hoping that if he seeks the Lord, you know, devoutly enough, that he's going to get to be resurrected at the last day, or in other words, he's going to attain heaven. That's not what he's saying. It can be what he's saying, because he's already told us over and over again that that's not how it happens. What Paul says here is this. He says, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection out from among the dead. What Paul wanted and what he expresses here is he wanted to know Christ so deeply and so powerfully that the Spirit of Christ would work in him so mightily that he would be distinguishable from the dead amongst whom he lived and amongst whom we live. We live amongst the dead. What do we want to do? We want to attain to the resurrection out from among the dead. We want the life of Christ, the power of Christ, the love of Christ, the life of Christ so working in us and flowing through us that it's obvious that we are not among the dead, that we are different, that we have attained to the resurrection out from among the dead. Attaining to the resurrection out from among the dead is something that is present. It's not something that he's talking about he hopes to attain, you know, in the afterlife. It's something that he's talking about attaining presently. And I think that's a great way to understand it. That's what we're aiming for. I don't want to be counted among the dead. I don't want to be looked at as being among the dead. I want to be distinguished from the dead. I want my life to be seen as different. And that's going to happen as I seek to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering and being conformed to his death. You see, the more I seek Jesus, the deeper I go in my relationship with him, the more obvious it is going to become to everybody observing that we are not among the dead. Isn't that a great contrast to think of? I mean, that's the radical contrast that the Bible puts forth, the living and the dead. It says that over and over again, doesn't it? Those outside of Christ are dead in trespasses and sins. They're dead. And we who are in Christ, we've been made alive in Christ. And that's the distinction. We should be so different than the world around us as to be as different as living people from dead people. Now, let's be honest. There are some people that are technically alive, but they look like they could be dead, right? People in a coma. Or people just, you know, in just such a depleted physical state that they might as well be dead. And, you know, sometimes Christians can be like that too. But if we're like that as Christians, it's because we're not pursuing Christ as Paul did and as he encouraged us to do here. But as we make this our objective, to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering and to be conform to his death, we will then attain to the resurrection out from among the dead. Now, this is certainly what Paul means because he goes on and he says, not that I have already attained it or am already perfect, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus laid hold of me. So you see, Paul is saying about himself, he hasn't arrived at a state of spiritual maturity beyond which there is no progress. He hasn't come to that point. But what is he doing? He says he's pressing forward. I'm pressing forward toward that. And so, we too, this is our aim, the resurrection out from among the dead. And this is what we are to be pressing toward. And we press toward it by seeking to lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus laid hold of us. We press toward it as we seek to know him, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering, and so forth. I want to know Christ better. I don't want to stop at that point of mere conversion and be satisfied with, well, this is enough. I got my fire insurance. I'm not going to hell. Okay. No, I want to go all the way. I want to know Christ in an ever-increasing manner so that I might attain to the resurrection from among the dead, that my life might be distinguished from those around me, that I might be seen as alive in Christ. And here's the thing. When we are walking through life as the living among the dead, that will be noticeable. And that's what we want. We want people to take note, to see the difference that Jesus Christ can make in a person's life. And remember that. It's vitally important. Of course, we must say it. We've got to preach it. We have to tell people. But God help us to live it too. Because if we're just preaching it, we're just telling people about it, and we're not living it, they're going to kind of question the validity of it because it's not a reality in our lives. But as it's a reality in our lives, and then as we speak it, then as we share it and preach it, Oh, that's where the power comes.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse study of the book of Philippians in our next lesson as Pastor Brian continues with part one of The Upward Call of God. But right now, I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of this study, or perhaps you'd like to review it again at a more convenient time, you can do so by simply calling us toll-free at 1-800-733-6443 and request a message entitled Counting All Things Lost for Christ. Or if you prefer, simply refer to it by resource number B0182. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-733-6443. Pastor Brian would also love to connect with you online, and he can be found at facebook.com/Pastor Brian Broderson. Also on Twitter at twitter.com/Brian Broderson. And for those of you that prefer to write, you can address your correspondence to Back to Basics, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And when writing or calling, be sure to ask for a free catalog of available resources from Back to Basics, and please include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. You're also invited to visit our website at backtobasicsradio.com, where you can listen to archived messages by Pastor Brian or subscribe to our podcasts. Once again, that's backtobasicsradio.com.
So turn up your radio.
Back to Basics is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.